Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to open your word, to be able to study some of the history, some of the things that you did for us, some of the accounts of what took place, some of the eyewitness views that we see here in the scriptures. Please open our hearts to be able to accept your word as it is, the authority of it. Please be with us now as we dig into the scriptures, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28. We'll get right into it here in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. When we have our Easter celebrations, a lot of people have the sunrise service to commemorate this event, the rising of the Lord in that early morning. And one thing that we often just overlook when we read the accounts of what took place is that we got our mindset that the stone had to be rolled away in order to let Jesus come out. But it did not. He was already out of the sepulchre before the stone was rolled away. Because as we see the account here, there's no mention of him coming out after the angel of the Lord rolls the stone back. He rolls the stone back, enabling the witnesses to see inside that the sepulchre was empty. Because we know that afterwards, when he appeared to them in the upper room and other places, he appeared right there, like he transported into that area, or was able to go through and not have to even open the door, because he appeared in that upper room where it was locked. And they didn't open the door to let him in. He appeared in there, and he was there. And it wasn't just his image. It wasn't just a likeness of him. They could touch him. And he ate in front of them. So we know he had the ability to transport himself from place to place without having to deal with the physical world like we know it. Because after all, he spoke everything into existence. He can manipulate the laws of nature that he put in place as he wills. So he does not have to follow the rules of the natural world as we do. All right, let's continue here in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 28. And it reads, And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. So, some of the watch. This was some of the crew, or some of the group of soldiers that were appointed to take guard over the sepulchre so that no one could steal the body of Jesus Christ. And they witnessed all this stuff, and they went and they told the chief priest. Now you would think that would be enough for the chief priest to finally believe what the scriptures say and prophesied would occur. But them being hard-hearted and not willing to believe who Jesus Christ was, not even willing to accept anything that was prophesied that they were supposed to have had knowledge of, because in order to be a chief priest, and that there was a Pharisee, and that they had thorough study of the Old Testament and the prophecies. But yet, with all this stuff being fulfilled right in front of their faces, they refused to believe it. They were, as it says in the scriptures, willfully ignorant of the truth that was right in front of them. Continuing in verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. It was a crime punishable by death for a Roman soldier to fall asleep while on duty. And this was a very risky thing for the soldiers to admit that they were asleep. And they weren't, of course, because they were scared when they saw the angel appear and they were coming up with this false story to spread around lies to try to cover the truth. Verse 14, it continues, And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you, letting him know that, hey, you know, don't worry about, you know, being executed for not doing your job properly. We'll tell him to not do that and secure you. So they had the willingness to go ahead and spread the lie, as it tells us here in verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So lies perpetrated by greed, perpetrated by someone who did not want to give up their position of a chief priest, did not want to give up the religious rituals and traditions of their past, did not want to accept the fulfilled scripture being fulfilled right before their eyes, which would have totally changed their lifestyle. Yeah. Because the processes that they were going through, the whole Sanhedrin, that would all have been shook up and changed because the age of the church had entered, not the age of the priesthood. So they were no longer going to be holding their high seats and their high positions, and their careers were all in danger. So they were all looking out for themselves. So they said, well, if we can cover up all this, then we can keep things going like they were and continue to prosper in our way of life. And they did not want that, so they did everything they could to try to stop it. That's why they went through the whole process of arresting Jesus and the crucifixion and then telling these lies and all the cover-up and all to try to keep their positions as chief priests and elders and so forth. Not willing to accept the blessings that could have come their way if they would have accepted Jesus Christ for who He truly was. All right, let's go ahead and finish up 28 here. There's not that much of it. In verse 16, reads, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Seeing Jesus right there, risen from the dead, and yet still had doubt. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. These last few words here that are recorded in the book of Matthew that he told these disciples here in Galilee are such an awesome set of verses that it's known as the Great Commission, where we have all been instructed to go out and spread the gospel throughout all nations and letting us know that he has received and returned to the full all power that he had. Because when he came down to earth to take on flesh, he relinquished some of his power back to the God Almighty, the Father, and took on the humble physical form that he had, and then took on all that sin, took on all of that, took on all that abuse. And then when he had finished all that, had accomplished all that that he was supposed to accomplish, then all of his royalty, all of his rights, all of his power had been given back to him, put back again in the position of Almighty, the one who spoke everything into existence, the full power of the Trinity once again. So he had to step down off of that in order to live amongst men for a while, humble himself down to that, to be beaten and abused, and that crown of thorns would be spit upon and whipped with that cat of nine tails and all of that. And then once he went through all of that to pay the price for all of our filthy sins, then took on all of his glory once again. And that's what he's mentioned of here in verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth to Jesus Christ Almighty. who is God in the flesh, who is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, our mediator, our Lamb. Okay, let's look at another account here in Mark. We've got time to look at one more of the gospel accounts of this event. We want to look through all four of them and also look in the book of Acts to get this resurrection fully viewed. But let's pick it up here in the book of Mark in chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verse 1 reads, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." It's interesting that he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene instead of anyone else. In verse 10, "And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Now, these are the folks that was with him, that walked through that and were with him for so many years there, 3+ years, and he told them what was going to happen. As it was being fulfilled, they still have doubts as well. Just got to remember, he can't be too hard on them. They had not yet received the Holy Ghost. So this was people without the Holy Ghost still. They didn't receive the Holy Ghost until the day of Pentecost. And then that gives you that boldness. That gives you that deep faith that a true Christian has. Continuing to verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. I'd like to touch on this one area here about some of the things that they will encounter. In verse 17 and 18, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Some people have taken this verse 18 here about drinking deadly things and handling snakes to an extreme. It used to be a whole lot more of this going on than there is now, but there are still some areas that still dabble in snake handling and drinking of strychnine. They actually have mason jars of strychnine sitting up on the ministry table, and they'll come up and they'll chug down a big gulp of strychnine, which would kill a normal person. They'll pick up rattlesnakes and they'll handle them, they'll sling them around there, hop around, and snake handlers. Growing up over there, spending a lot of time in West Virginia areas and some of the areas of Virginia over there in the coal fields, there were churches that were snake handler churches that we always go by and, oh, that's one of them snake handlers, you know, there's some strange folks over there. But these folks were, I think, taking these verses to the extreme. It was not designed to tell us that we have to prove our righteousness, to prove the fact that we're a Christian, to prove our faith by tempting the Lord in this way. That's what they're doing. They're tempting the Lord, and they're trying to do something for show. And I think it, personally, my opinion is, I think it's wrong in the way that they're doing that. This verse is speaking of the protectiveness of God to us when we're out doing His work. It's just like Paul illustrated this when he was on that, sitting there by that campfire, and an adder, which is a very deadly snake, they had thrown some sticks in the fire, and it was, one of the sticks turned out to be a snake, and it jumped back out and bit Paul, and he just slung it off, and he didn't die. And he was on there. I mean, he was sitting there with some other folks that was on the ship that had wrecked, and they were all, you know, he's got to die in a minute or two, you know, and they're just waiting for him to drop over dead, and he never did die. That's what it's speaking of, that a person that is serving the Lord, that is in the work of the Lord, can encounter things that would kill a normal person, and the Lord will see them through that because He is protecting us. He can heal us from anything, even from deadly poison, even from a snake bite, even from cancer, even from anything that's out there in this world. The Lord can heal us from that. That's what He's illustrating. As He further talks about it, when He says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's speaking of being able to recover from deadly things that would kill a normal person that did not have the miracle of the Lord helping them continue. And it is not that we're supposed to go out here and find a deadly snake and play with it so they can show everybody that we're so holy. That's the wrong attitude to take about it. And it's like I said, taken to the extreme, because they take this one verse out of here, because you don't see anywhere else in the Scriptures. The Lord doesn't tell them to, all right, show everybody how great you are by picking up snakes and drinking this poison, and I'll see to it that you survive so we can show people this miracle. That wasn't what this was talking about, and it is not what's directing us to do. So don't go home and find a rattlesnake and start playing with it, because the Lord says it won't kill you. You're liable to drop dead. Just another example of how they can take something and take it to the extreme and distort it. The Scriptures are so thorough, so connected. Like in electricity, it's the continuity of the Scriptures from the front to the back, from the very verse in Genesis 1:1 all the way through to the end of Revelation 22. It is all complete. It all flows together. If you go in there and you find one verse and you pick it out all by itself, you don't have any other supporting verses, and you can distort that verse into all kinds of strange beliefs. And that's what they've done with this here. You've got to take the full continuity of the Scriptures. You've got to put it all together, see the full picture, like we've said so many times over and over, and then you will be able to live the kind of life the Lord has in mind for true Christians. Is to go by all of His Word, not just by bits and pieces of it here and there, and then start denying other areas of it because science decides to change it and put it over this other way, you know, and then you go that other way, such as creation, such as the literal Adam and Eve, such as the flood, such as so many things that they're doing these days, that they're just attacking the Scriptures over and over. And we've got to understand that they are complete from front to back, and that they all complement each other and work together. And we will continue this study over in the book of Luke, where we see the historical account of His resurrection next week, because we are totally out of time. Seems to fly by so quickly when we get into the Word. But we hope and pray that more will stand firmly on the authority of the Word of God and take it for exactly what it says and as it is throughout the Scriptures, not just take bits and pieces of it and try to build some twisted religion off of that. Let us pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It contains so much. It contains so much evidence in there. For these people out here, these skeptics out here that are hard-hearted and hard-minded, if they would just open their eyes and look at the things that are in the Scriptures that flow together so well, that give us a clear picture of the events that took place and a clear picture of the things that are going to occur in the future, and just open our hearts and minds. And please help us always have the confidence to stand firmly on Your Word, as accurate as it is and as infallible as it is. We thank You so much for this opportunity to be able to gather together and study. Please always help us to keep that here in this country and spread it throughout the rest of the world. Lead, guide, direct us this week and help us to be a good witness and testimony to You, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.